The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about podcasts and also about a movie stolen from us.
Oh no, Merry Christmas, Mini Monday, Chunkies. I'm Carter.
I'm Doge.
And I'm Jordan.
Hey, wow, why didn't I just pick up on part of the magic of this podcast and of our relationships? Maybe from as long as I can remember, is that we can pick up on each other's vibes and just kind of play along to it, right?
Usually.
Sure. Makes for a good dynamic. Made perfect sense that was the tune of Feliz Navidad, but you'll find out soon. those of you that are editing this podcast will find out sooner. And I did not know what that song was for a while. Guys, welcome to a very special, would we say it's the most special?
It's a weird one. It's a weird week of content for us.
It's a weird one, Mr. Grinch.
It's an out of body.
It's a weird one, Mr. Grinch.
What? No, never mind. I was going to do the weird. Isn't there a weird snort thing that Jim Carrey added in his? Like,
props.
I sure hope so. Because I
I really hope so.
we need to talk a little bit about before we give to the people our actual writing and release of Feliz Navidad, the first one, the 2018 mm-hmm. December release, mm-hmm. not the 2020 November release of Feliz Navidad, but we will have for you that full recording. But let's start with the process. We had just stumbled upon the Hallmark season, a real deep dive into that ended up being a blast. Honestly, one of my favorite.
That was a really fun series.
One of my favorite series that we have done. We traveled through time. And yet it was the same lady.
Oh my goodness.
A pre-sketchy revelations about Aunt Becky time. It was a simpler world.
It was a much simpler world. And we began to discover that there were specific ingredients. And you'll see in the episode following of when we wrote Feliz Navidad, we actually share our list.
Okay. I was hoping that we did because I have that pulled up on Google Docs.
No, we do. It was
okay, that's
near,
the thing that we Googled.
Yeah, near 20 or almost past. I mean, they added our own, including things like, you'll hear it. I don't want to give too much away because you really should listen to this. But that process, I do remember I need to maybe take a little bit less than 33% credit for Feliz Navidad. Something had happened during the season of 2018. I remember actually even issuing an apology to the two of you because I was hardly a part of the process of writing it. Do y'all remember that?
No, I don't.
No, I don't remember that at all.
I'm a 2 on the Enneagram, so maybe that just is part of my self-deprecation.
You just got that guilt of I could have done more.
There was definitely a moment, that I was I couldn't contribute. But it was this beautiful mix of our own ideas and the ideas that Hallmark just kind of lobbed up to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To create this script and... Yeah, can we share the feelings? Jordan, what was you? I feel like, and I love it, you're one of those friends that I love having in my corner because if someone were to hurt me, you would hurt them. You'd be one of the first people to blindly rage in there and be like, what are you doing?
That's probably fair.
What were your initial feelings after finding out about Melissa Joan Hart's role in Feliz Navidad?
I think I can only sum it up as disbelief.
Yeah.
I really just think that for me, and even still, it just lands on you have to be kidding me. And that was my overwhelming feeling that day too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. it lands for me somewhere in that, like, we'll never ever know, realistically. We'll never know if somewhere one of Mario Lopez's interns way down the totem pole heard our episode.
Right.
And pitched it as their own to Mario. Because
I'd like to know.
The final product is, spoilers, different enough that that doesn't necessarily have to be how it happened.
Yeah.
Right? But somehow, I think the wild thing to me is that somehow we hit on this combination of really bad Christmas pun and Mario Lopez as the star. But then even deeper than that, it's the specific character dynamics and, like, kind of the crux of the conflict in the movie, or at least the crux of the motivations.
Yeah.
We hit on that so perfectly that it became manifest on our screens.
That's what's so, like, my head against the wall, though, because I can tell you that it's been a roller coaster of emotions for me. I think at first I just thought it was funny and it was going to be good. You know, it was going to be good to get the word out about T-Jux, sure, right? Sure. Discover this interesting thing and then from there discover our podcast. But then I got to moments of just being really angry. But then I would come back and be like, what? It is continuing. Even after I've seen the movie Doge, it continues to walk the line of, was this just always meant to be? Because it is hitting all of the Hallmark notes.
Right.
Or was it just ripped? I think the better story is it's taken from us.
But I prefer that version.
I know. I do too. But I really don't know at this point. I think it's just so freaking...
Well, and it's the broad strokes, right? Of, like, you have a lovable kid and a coffee house and raising the stakes in a believable way. That's in all of them. But then we have things. I'm looking at the Google Doc right here, and you'll hear it. We're gonna play the original pitch for this movie from 2018. We're gonna play that after this conversation. But we have the pitch right here on Google Docs, where we have written that Dad died around Christmas, so Mom doesn't decorate anymore. That's, like, exactly this, but just gender flipped, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The next line says, Mr. Garcia, the Spanish teacher, which was Mario Lopez in ours, he's a Spanish teacher at a high school, is the leader of the Christmas parade, and this year's theme is Feliz Navidad. That's, like, pretty similar to this big Christmas
what
festival
is a
and him being an educator.
If not a stationary parade.
Yeah, we've always said that. What's his last name in the actual Feliz Navidad?
Could not tell you.
Okay.
It's isn't Garcia it Mor- in
isn't
ours.
It Morales or no?
It's Morales.
Is it? Or am I just playing Miles Morales right now and that's the only name
that
I can
before, too. Yeah. And I guess before we get too far into just talking about Feliz Navidad, like the adaptation of our original.
It is Morales.
You will get that episode tomorrow. So you're going to have a full episode of us talking about Feliz Navidad. But for now, we do have this for you. And just if you haven't already, or if you have, it was good for me as a person who recorded it to listen again before I saw this movie.
Yeah.
But we do have it for you now, and here is the original Feliz Navidad.
It's the time of year. You know the one. Hallmark Channel. Yep. Reigns supreme. And we here at Two Chunks and a Hunk have undertook a massive undertaking.
I, for one, welcome our Hallmark overlords.
And I could not be more thrilled to introduce our own original Hallmark movie. We spent time.
We did. We really did.
Time was spent. Like, time.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing. We were working on this morning, we kept saying, what are we doing?
Yeah, it was one of those things where, like, we'd get into the project and then we would kind of poke our heads up out of it, like a prairie dog looking out of his den. And going, like,
oh, this is so ridiculous.
Wait, what are we doing again? But here we are, and we're here, and this is something that now we have to legally say we've done with our lives.
That's true.
At some point.
And so, dear listener, man, we would love now to take this time and pitch to you our original Two Chunks and a Hunk Hallmark movie known as
Feliz Navidad.
That's right. Navidad.
Ooh, yeah.
We are absolutely stoked about this. Let's start with our checklist. We put together a checklist for the things that every good Hallmark Christmas movie needs. Doge, would you read those off to us?
Sure thing. So based on our observations and similar lists that we found on the World Wide Web, here are our kind of checkpoints that we decided we needed to hit in order to make a real deal big boy Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yep.
We need
a town obsessed with Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Much like Garland or Holly.
Sure. Sure. We need a kitschy Christmas antagonist. Much like
Gossip Mom.
Like Gossip Mom. Mm-hmm. We need some sort of meaningful trinket like DJ's photos.
You got to.
We have written in all caps and italics, be spontaneous.
You have to be spontaneous.
If there's one thing that is even more deified than the Christmas spirit, it's spontaneity.
Good grief, yes.
We need sympathetic women.
Everywhere.
We need references to technology.
You gotta have
a lot of them in A Journey Back to Christmas.
Here's kind of a wild card.
You mean like technology like a skateboard?
Yeah, yeah, or like an automatic car trunk?
Yeah, yeah.
We need organic gardening and or a farmer's market.
Why would you not?
I don't see why.
Wine, obviously.
Match.
An aspirational lifestyle.
Sure.
Yep.
Some sort of small business.
Always.
This is a phrase that we found online. Raising the stakes in a believable way.
You gotta make people believe it, though.
Yeah, much like time travel.
Yeah.
conversations in cars.
You gotta have it.
A coffee house.
Sure.
And a lovable kid.
Please. Naturally.
Please. So, in our story of Feliz Navidad, gosh, it is, of course, Christmas time. And, there's one particular Christmas song that we feel like doesn't get enough love on the network television.
Genuinely, Feliz Navidad is one of my top three favorite Christmas songs.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I love that song.
It's a great song. And so we wanted to show it some love by theming a movie around that song. So what we have here is the story of a young single mother of a seventh grade boy. Mm. And that mother's name is Molly Anderson and her son Dylan. Molly Anderson is the host of a public access cable cooking show. And boy, does she love it.
Her public access show is doing pretty well. And she actually gets noticed by a big media corporation. They want to turn her show into a full-fledged network production.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
ShopMart TV wants to turn Molly's Market into a big, full, nationwide syndicated show where Molly brings on ingredients from local, organic ingredients from farmers markets and makes great, healthy food for the whole family.
Yep. Toothpaste without gluten.
Yep. Exactly.
No gluten.
Yeah. Please make sure to have that.
Molly's been throwing herself kind of headfirst into her cooking show work after the death of her husband, the untimely death around Christmas time of her husband.
Pretty tough, yeah.
And so her life has been devoted to her work, and it's been a tough road for her. Her
work
and Dylan. And Dylan, of course.
Yeah, I think something in our movie too is, I mean, it will be a legitimate death. Like it'll be a... Because I know we've had some World War II.
This is not Chet. This is not Chet. His name is on the memorial this time.
Yeah. Yeah. He's truly a dead one. And
Andrew. Can we call him Andrew?
Why?
Because their last name is Anderson. And I just think Andrew Anderson is a pretty great Hallmark
name.
That's good. That's pretty good. But wealthy network executive Rob Fillet contacts Molly Anderson and says, I want you to move out to the town in which our headquarters are located. What town is that?
It is the town of Aurora, Washington.
Of course it is.
And why is it called Aurora, you ask?
It's because in Aurora, it is only on, was it Christmas Eve?
It is Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, probably the best view, only view like this of the Northern Lights.
Yep. It's the only place in the continental United States.
Also reflecting in the lake.
In Lake Aurora.
It's truly.
Exactly.
It's like a beautiful twice experience. The amount. Somehow we were able to get away with giving the audience, hopefully Hallmark, twice the amount of Northern Lights.
Yep. It's the Aurora Borealis all over again.
Aurora Reflectialis.
Nice.
Whoa.
Thanks, you guys.
Disease.
Very good. So Molly and Dylan, they pack up, right?
They pack up. They have to move. They're moving realistically right around the time that Dylan gets out of school for Christmas.
Yeah.
So this is probably around the 19th of Christmas.
And this is going to be tough on little Dylan.
They're finally having to say goodbye to their town in Florida and all the friends that Dylan's made and all the people that have been so dear to them. So they're kind of starting over.
So we cut to, and I insist on this, we cut to Molly packing up her final mug and putting it precariously perched on top of the back of the U-Haul.
They have a separate U-Haul
just for mugs.
It's
awesome.
And Dylan gets in the passenger seat, buckles a seatbelt because safety is important, turns around and sadly waves to a group of youngsters standing in the driveway who are going to miss him just so bad.
It's all Dylan's friends who helped him pack.
Yeah.
They probably have skateboards. That'd be our first reference.
We're going to have a scene, of course, where Molly and Dylan stand in the threshold of their old home and say, I think we'll ever see this place again. And then Molly's like, nah. And then shuts the door. And then they're out.
She tosses a match on the floor.
Walk away slow
And then
motion.
She looks directly into the camera and says, let the past die. Kill it if you have to.
This ain't your mama's Christmas movie.
That is so good. Was that an Adam Driver person?
It was an Adam Driver.
That was good? Incredible.
Thanks, guys.
It's pretty good.
First time I've ever tried it.
Are you serious?
It's a Christmas miracle.
Shot from the hip?
Shot from the hip.
That was the first time.
Shot from the hip at an Adam Driver.
Wow. Bullseye.
Really?
Nailed it.
Thanks,
listen,
guys.
This is going to be right up there with some of the presents I think I know I'm getting.
That was a Kylo win in my book.
That, wow. What a good one.
I'm unworthy of this booth right now. That was amazing.
You know what? And I couldn't have done it without Scrub Daddy on there, my side.
That's why I'm here.
Thanks,
that's
Scrub Daddy.
So they arrive in Aurora.
They sure do.
Would you assume that? I mean, I think Aurora is obsessed with Christmas, isn't it?
Oh my goodness,
Aurora is the second biggest little Christmas town in the United States.
But I've got an important question for you too. Does Molly have the right clothes?
Oh, I doubt
it's a Hallmark movie.
There's no chance. No.
She's moving from Florida, right? Did we mention that?
And she doesn't know how cold Washington is because she didn't check.
No, I thought it was just white rain.
And so the first thing she's going to do when she gets out.
Isn't that a Prince song?
Purple rain.
White rain. Oh,
see, in direct contrast to how great your Adam Driver was just now, how bad your Prince was.
That was amazing. Peter Griffin trying to be
White rain.
So Molly doesn't have the right clothes, you guys.
But she's going to need a helpful friend to find her some clothes to wear.
I hope this friend owns a coffee shop.
Oh, Carter, you're going to be for a treat.
Enter Shannon and Roy O'Neill, owners and sole proprietors of O'Neill's Coffee and Treats.
I love it.
Now, I want to take a second. I'm less concerned about Shannon and Roy and knowing what they look like in my mind's eye than I am about Molly. Can you give me maybe an actress that could play Molly Anderson to just the right amount of audience engagement?
Carter's got two letters for you.
DJ.
It's Candace Cameron, y'all!
You can't spell Christmas without DJ. We got Christmas Cameron Bure herself.
Yes. And she is, of course, our main character.
I hope she'll be able to step into the very different role from anything she's done that Molly is.
Yeah, this is going to be tough for her.
I mean, Molly's not a nurse, so.
That's true.
Unless she makes medicine on her cooking show.
She's a food nurse.
That's a great point. So the whole reason that Molly's really sort of chasing her dream out here is because her husband, Andrew had one phrase that he would tell her all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
One phrase that really guided his life.
Peek behind the curtain. Jordan, you came up with this. Just horribly cheesy, horribly Hallmark-y.
I think all three of us dry heaved when we first said it out loud.
Maybe the best thing about this.
Would you go ahead and commit podcast suicide by committing this to audio?
I will. So what Andrew Anderson would always say to his family is, with your heart as your compass, you'll never be lost.
What? You guys, that's the Hallmark of
there it is. There it is. We really found the Hallmark here, didn't we? Oh my goodness.
So Molly meets Shannon.
At the community garden.
I know. We realized that genuinely after we wrote the whole thing. We're like, wait, our two female leads are named Molly and Shannon.
We had to commit at that point.
I love it.
Molly meets her new best friend, Shannon, in Aurora at the community garden. She's there kind of checking out their produce selection so she can see, you know, what kind of things am I going to be able to make on Molly's Market?
Yep.
When ShopMart TV picks that up.
And Shannon, of course, takes pity on poor Molly and says,
she sees Molly shivering.
You got to be so cold.
Yeah.
Why don't you let me take you to the nearest mall, get you some clothes. And boy.
Cue shopping spree.
Oh, of course. Shopping, you got to have that
Hallmark shopping montage.
We are writing this part now, but very definitely Roy is with them. And he's only holding all the bags.
Roy's holding on the bags. And Dylan's with him.
There. And he's just a huffin' and also a puffin'.
He's huffin' and puffin'.
He's ready to go. Dylan is not enjoying that.
He wants to go back and play his Playbox 370.
Right. Wonderful reference to technology.
Just disconnected enough from anything that's remotely real. Yeah, I want to go play Call of Metal on my Playbox 370. All my friends are online.
Mom, can I go play 2 weeks?
Fortnite?
Mom, can I go play? Can I get some money for skins in 2 weeks, Mom, please? It's me, Dylan. Can I do that, please?
Me, Dylan, a real kid who loves things kids love.
Sorry, I think it's important that we address that Dylan's name is spelled D-Y-L-L-O-N because...
God,
so we had to do it. But Shannon, at this point, reveals something very important, and that is there is one handsome, eligible bachelor in the town of Aurora.
Carter, would you read this line in your best Shannon voice? I need something that is closer to Adam Driver and farther from Prince.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how to do that. If I was single in this town, I'd be going after Kevin Garcia.
Kevin Garcia.
Kevin Garcia. Enter Kevin Garcia. Kevin is our male lead in this Hallmark movie.
Oh, he sure is. And let's talk about how our two leads meet. Why don't we?
Sure. Should we talk about who plays Kevin first?
Oh, we should. There's only one option. And he's going to come in to our lives, grab a chair, flip it around, reverse it, and plop down, mullet blowing in the breeze. That's right.
We got two letters for you on this one, too.
A-C. We're talking Mario Lopez, A.C. Slater, Saved by the Bell.
When you were saying like mullet in the wind and stuff too, I was like, I'm pretty sure it's Mario, but this sounds a lot like Michael Bolton.
I was going to say, we got Billy Ray for this one.
Yeah. It's a different movie at that point. But
right, all our favorite mullets in one podcast.
You can sell me pretty quick, but yeah. It's a different movie.
And Molly's name is Mullet now.
Mullet Anderson. So Molly's got to take Dylan the next day
to register for January classes. And on our notes, there's a typo, and I typed, she's registering Dylan.
She's registering old Dylan.
Drop that G right off of there. She's registering Dylan for January classes.
She's got to take him. And of course, she's huffing and puffing, walking. I've said huffing and puffing twice.
That's okay.
Yeah, what a weird phrase to latch onto. She's just hauling it down the hallways of this school.
She's putting the hall in hallway.
And she bumps headfirst into the handsome, the devilish.
There he is again.
Kevin Garcia.
You might say she bumps head over heels first.
Nice. Whoa. And we got to have the scene, of course.
She does land on top of him.
She falls, lands nose to nose right on top of him. And then excuse me, papers everywhere. And then they go for the same paper. They got to go for the same paper.
Yep.
Look up one more time. And then he introduces himself.
Oh.
Yeah. No, yep, later.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's Hallmark. We can't. He introduces himself as Senor Garcia. That's right. The middle school's one and only Spanish teacher.
He does a little bit of everything, which we've seen before.
He does. He's the hunky guy. This movie's version of Andy.
Yep. He is. So that's our meet cute. And of course, the name Kevin Garcia is going to register with Molly. She's going to register her son for classes.
Hey now.
So we cut to later this night. Molly is, she's enjoying coffee with Shannon O'Neill at Shannon's coffee shop.
That's true.
Right? She's hanging out there with Shannon O'Neill.
Always behind the counter doing his thing.
Yeah, exactly.
When in walks none other than Kevin Garcia. Why is he here? What's going on?
Shannon has set up a double date without telling Molly.
Shannon.
And we wanted to make sure that as we are writing this, the reaction of every character to Shannon is always, Shannon.
Yeah, that's sort of Shannon's thing. Shannon.
And then it's like her version of, did I do that?
Yeah.
Which is a good Urkel too. I'm doing good voices.
It wasn't so much a good Urkel. And so the next thing that is going to happen after that is, of course, Molly's going to be sitting down and she notices some twinkling from underneath the shirt collar of Mr. Garcia.
Yeah.
And she's going to ask, hey, do you mind if I ask, what's that necklace?
So we look in that shiny thing's a necklace. And guys, that necklace is a compass.
Oh.
And if you remember gagging earlier.
I do.
The quote, with your heart as a compass, you'll never get lost. So obviously, this is starting to register. The plot's moving just as fast as we hope it would. She asked him about that, and he says, I guess it just reminds me to follow my heart.
And there it is.
There we go.
There's Hallmark. You can hear the dollar signs, quite literally dozens of them.
What does the dollar sign make? What is the noise it makes? Did I do it right?
Yeah.
Do it again.
Cha-ching.
Similar to your diamond sound effect a few episodes ago, but we'll take it.
Yeah. Spring.
Oh, yeah.
Spring.
That's pretty much it.
Cool. So they have a great time on this double date. It's a fun time. Molly and Kevin really hit it off with each other.
Of course.
Those Hallmark sparks are
flying.
They got to. Hall sparks are flying.
Hall sparks. The next morning, Shannon invites Molly over to the coffee shop once more for a dish sesh. They got to talk about how last night.
They got to wash all the dishes.
They got to wash all the dishes.
Scrub daddy.
They can use some scrub daddies.
They can.
Oh.
We didn't intend for that to be what's happening, but that's definitely, that's canon now to this movie. They're using scrub daddies to wash dishes.
And during the dish sesh, Molly's like, hey, speaking of dishes, I'm going to go wash my mug out so you don't have to do it. Walks over to the back, starts to rinse her mug. Molly's phone rings on the table.
What? And it definitely looks like an iPhone, but don't worry, it's not.
It's not an iPhone.
It's my phone. It's some sort of weird phone that doesn't actually exist.
It's a pair brand my phone.
But they spent their entire VFX budget on the screen replacement to make this totally look like a real phone call that's coming in on a real smartphone.
Yep. And it's not, it's definitely not a calculator app. So don't think that it is. Who's going to answer that phone though?
Oh, Shannon.
Oh, Shannon.
No.
Kevin reveals to Shannon at this point, I was calling to ask Molly on another date. And Shannon.
Some spicy news.
She accepts the date on Molly's behalf. Shannon.
So Molly comes back and her only reaction is every character's only reaction to Shannon. And Molly says the line, oh, Shannon. And here's our first commercial break. Fade to black. And then fade back in.
There's no way. It's Hallmark. This is our third commercial break at minimum.
Good point. So we're on to our date now.
Yep.
Okay, because it's happening. She's sure. Not just going to turn it down.
No, she's going to
turn
way.
Down
she's
dates
gonna
in Hallmark movies.
She's going to go.
And so, I mean, what else is she going to do?
There's parts of this date that kind of feel spontaneous. I don't know. I just felt like, I guess we felt like that would be a good idea for a Hallmark movie. But
weird.
He's got... Crazy? Can we describe his truck? So he drives a truck, right? Nobody's surprised.
Yeah. No. It's a red pickup truck. And you know that he's got a wreath on the front of this,
right?
Wreath
on the front of the red pickup truck.
It's old. It's an old red pickup truck.
It's old, yeah.
And it was, you could tell he might have tried to polish it up. That's kind of sweet. But he's got a picnic planned. And he wants to take Molly out to Lake Aurora.
It's not just a regular picnic. We need to be very clear about this.
Truck bed picnic.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
He's got blankets, he's got pillows, everything to make their truck bed.
Thermoses of hot chocolate.
A cozy experience.
But on the way to this picnic, they drive by the television studio.
Ooh.
ShopMart TV Studios. Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. ShopMart TV Studios, Garcia reveals to Molly, used to be Garcia's Grocers.
Mm-hmm.
It was his dad's grocery store.
Yep.
And it was really focused on giving back to the community. You know, it was a grocery store, but more than that, it was kind of a hub.
It was a grocery home.
It was a grocery home. It wasn't a store. It was a grocery home. But one of the things that they did is every year they put on a Christmas parade for all the kids in Aurora. And it was Mr. Garcia Sr.'s way of kind of giving back to the community that showed so much kindness to his family and allowed him to follow his dream of taking care of people and meeting their needs.
I think I've got a pretty good Mario Lopez if I might try for this next quote. Here's what Kevin says to Molly. I do the parade to keep my dad's dream alive. It's something he used to do for the kids in town. It's my way of following my heart to make sure I don't get lost.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Mm.
That was a good Mario.
I just watched a Mario Lopez movie a couple days ago.
On purpose or were you a prisoner to it?
Very on purpose. And he was actually a prisoner in the movie. So that's very funny.
Wow.
Holiday in Handcuffs. Don't watch it. Actually do. It was great.
So they end up at the lake, obviously, and they're kind of snuggled up there looking at the lake. And this is when Kevin tells Molly all about kind of the history of Lake Aurora. He says the parade always ends here at the lake because this is the only view of the Northern Lights in the continental U.S. And if you time it just right, you can see them reflected in Lake Aurora.
Love that.
And they're drinking special hot chocolate.
It really captures the spirit of Christmas. They are drinking Dad Garcia's special hot chocolate recipe, and Molly loves it. It's hot chocolate with a little bit of cayenne pepper in it.
Oh,
it's
nice. Like
kind of a traditional Mexican hot chocolate.
It's delicious.
I love that.
And of course, sitting in the bed of the truck and then...
Oh, no.
Is that a phone?
Maybe it's Shannon. Maybe it's Dylan.
Who knows? Who knows?
Anybody but... Oh, no. It's Rob Filet.
Would now be a good time to reveal who we want to play Rob Filet in this movie?
This is aspirational. This is a bit of aspirational casting for Hallmark. We recognize this would be a big get if they could get this particular actor, but all of Rob Filet's scenes could be filmed in one day. He doesn't even have to be on set.
Hey, we'll meet you.
We'll go wherever he is. This is the cornerstone of this entire movie, the casting of Rob Filet. And it is none other than Sir Patrick Warburton.
Wow.
My spinach puffs.
Squeaker. Squeak, squeaker.
Oh, it would be too good. So does she answer the phone, guys?
She's got to answer. I mean, she has to. We're starting to really see. I mean, here's one of the first manifestations of this pull that we might see later in terms of, I'm in this moment, but I am being pulled to another. I need to figure out what my priorities are. Mm. So he gives her a call and lets them know. Rob says, hey, they're accelerating production. You're supposed to start in January, but now you're taping on, gosh, wouldn't you believe, Christmas Eve, guys. Mm. So we're going to have to film that on Christmas Eve. And so Christmas Eve, you would think.
Big deal.
We don't want to do that. But
Molly doesn't celebrate Christmas, remember?
Molly
doesn't.
Her
husband, Andrew Anderson, died a few years ago, right around Christmas time.
So Rob Filet says to her,
you tell me Christmas doesn't matter to you, so this is a no-brainer.
Of course. So she, you know, okay, she hangs up her phone. And as soon as she hangs it up, Garcia says, yeah, so anyways, no problem, by the way, with the phone call, not a big deal. But anyway, what I was saying is, you know, the Christmas parade, it happens every year on Christmas Eve, December 24th.
This year's theme is Feliz Navidad. I really want you to come. I'm going to have all the kids come out. I think this would be a great chance
Dylan should do it.
Dylan could make new friends.
He's going to love it.
We're all going to be singing Feliz Navidad. I really hope you could come out. This is a tradition my dad started, and it would just mean a lot to me if you were able to be there.
We really wanted this scene to be able to show off Candace Cameron Bure's skill set, which is going,
I mean,
I'll see what I can do. That sounds great. Wait,
So that's exactly the way that Molly delivers that line. Verbatim. What you just heard is an actual soundbite from this movie.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, DJ.
So the next day, Molly calls Shannon and says, hey, they moved up the taping. It's this week. It's on Christmas Eve. And you know what? I have nothing to wear.
Oh, no.
There's only one thing we can do here. Another shopping montage.
Listen, Hallmark, most of your movies have one shopping montage. And if there's one thing we want to do, it's make a movie that's better than yours. And the only way to do that is to make two shopping montages.
Two Northern Lights, two shopping montages.
But Shannon, Shannon sees this as an opportunity to arrange another date between Molly and Kevin.
Only making it worse.
So, okay, Doge wrote this part. And it's a text that Shannon sends to Mr. Garcia. And this text is written in text speak. So I'm going to go ahead and let Doge handle all of explaining this part.
It may be audio suicide to spell this out, but here we go. Shannon sends the phrase to Kevin, need your help at mall tomorrow. But she says, need, N-E-E-D, U-R-H-L-P.
Saving good time, valuable time.
@ mall, period. T-M-R-R-W.
Sure.
1130.
Yeah. Yeah. So she just hates vowels.
Kev says, with what? Molly says, Christmas present number 4, Roy, period. Need H-L-P carrying.
She's devious.
Molly's telling Kevin she's got a Christmas present for Roy. It's too big for her to carry.
And what would, yeah.
She needs Kev's help to load it in her car.
Yep. Sure.
So they get to the mall. And the only response, I think we all know what's coming once Kevin and Molly see each other. What do they say to Shannon?
Shannon!
But they end up having a great time together. They really enjoyed their date. And so they're happy to see each other again. And Dylan's there with him, and Dylan is happy to see his new Spanish teacher. He kind of has gotten to know Kevin and really likes him.
And Molly realizes that it sort of seems like everybody likes Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody they walk past greets him by name and with a smile and a hug and a handshake and a wink and a prayer, kiss.
So if we'll remember, the first shopping montage, you know who was not real into that?
Dylan. He was huffing and puffing.
Our boy Dylan.
Remember that?
Shannon makes a great observation, though.
Something's different about this shopping montage.
What's that?
Kevin's there.
Yeah. Shannon says,
you know, I know you were hesitant, but can I point something out? Dylan has been hanging out with Kevin this entire time. He hasn't complained once.
That's good. So Molly's starting to have some affection stirred.
And if there's one thing that Deej is good at, it's nonverbal communication. So this will be a very long shot of just her face as she processes this information.
And very long for Hallmark means 3 seconds.
Yeah. And then we're going to cut to a commercial.
Yep.
Obviously.
When we come back from the commercial break, Molly's going to pick up that phone and try and get the Christmas shoot rescheduled so that she can be at the parade with her son and her new boy toy.
Rob has to say, I'm sorry, I've already got the studio booked. We can't move it.
That's going to be tough.
Cut to another commercial.
100%.
We come back from a commercial and Molly and Dylan are putting up the Christmas tree in their
Vernon
house.
Vernon Hollis Christmas tree. We won't say that, but, yeah, everyone,
but it is.
Everyone
it's
will
shared universe. Putting up the Christmas tree in their house for the first time in several years. Mm-hmm. Dylan's really excited. And
I'm picturing this scene as sort of Molly feigning that she can't reach the top of the tree with the star. And she's like,
one of the legs is kind of kicked back.
Yeah,
in the back.
I can't reach it. And you know, Dylan's like, well, we've got a stool. And she's like, no, that just won't work. I'm going to have to call for help. Jump cut to Kevin putting the star on top of the tree.
Yep.
Kevin says, is this all you call me over for? And Molly, realizing that he's about to leave, says, well, no, I wanted Dylan to try your hot chocolate.
Oh,
it was so good the other night. I really liked it.
And so they have to go get some cayenne pepper.
Shopping
montage at the grocery store.
One thing of cayenne pepper. And then we're done.
But, you know, they, of course, make the hot chocolate, and it is, as stated, great. Delicious.
It's very great.
Yeah, and as with most delicious hot chocolates, they kind of make you sleepy.
They do.
Dylan's just gone off to bed, so we've got...
Good night, guys. But he does that adorable, like, good night, guys. That whole thing.
I'm sleepy.
Heads off to bed, and then we've just got Molly and Kevin together. Here on the couch. I mean, how far apart are they sitting? Do we
far,
think?
Far,
probably really far, apart.
Really far. It is a Hallmark movie.
Like full cushion between.
It's
right?
So respectful because it's a Hallmark movie that Kevin's like, you know what? I should probably get going too.
And she says, Molly says, Kevin, wait. I love the idea of the parade, and Dylan's gonna have so much fun, but I have to do this. I'm sorry.
Oh, I get it. You have to follow your heart, so don't get lost. I'll make sure Dylan gets to the parade tomorrow.
Cut to commercial.
Of course.
There's going to be a lot of these.
There's so many
once
commercials.
You get to the end,
there's
it's so like
you do sometimes, Grandpa.
Yeah. And now
they're
back.
They're all Symbiote commercials.
It's all that commercial.
Court.
So Kevin comes back to pick up Dylan the next day. Molly opens the door dressed for her taping, and Kevin says this line.
You look... wow.
Dylan, Mr. Garcia's here.
Long time. Long pause. Like
very,
maybe even 4 seconds.
At each other.
Yeah. Very long beat as Molly watches them drive away. In his red pickup truck.
That's not what you wrote here, Dush.
A long beat as Molly watches them drive away in his sexy, sexy red pickup truck with a wreath on the front.
And we cut to, of course, the Christmas Eve taping. And I'm thinking we A-B shots here. Some Christmas Eve taping and some parade prep. Some Christmas Eve taping and some parade prep. Molly's in makeup. They're starting the car.
Molly's up from Rob Fillet.
Yeah, Rob Fillet's like, here we
Wait,
go.
Wait, is he there? Because that means we might not get Patrick Warburton. He's Skyping in. Big thumbs up. That way he could shoot all his stuff.
No, it's just from the back. It's just a shot from the back of the head. It doesn't matter.
Thumbs totally up Rob Fillet, everybody.
Yeah, definitely
like
Rob
a short
Fillet
blonde guy.
You know, cut back and they're
do
like
we think we're
going to
actually have like, how do y'all feel about having the countdown to going live like at the peak moment she's having to make a decision?
So here's what I'm thinking, and I haven't revealed this to you guys yet, so this is going to be a little bit of a surprise, but I'm thinking we do some cinema magic and we deceive our audience.
Remember, don't forget our budget though.
No.
Okay. It's $5.
No effects. I'm thinking
a Subway football?
We have a 3-2-1 countdown to the show and a 3-2-1 countdown to the parade start.
Oh.
And it looks like they're happening simultaneously, but when the parade start countdown ends, Molly walks up. And then we B-screen back to
Here's what's
her
tough.
Leaving the TV show.
Is that too good? This was something that
might be. It yeah. might be elevated.
I think that's too good. So I think what should happen is Molly's about to go on, right? She sees the lights come up. She hears her theme music start playing. And she's her cue is coming. She's got to walk out on stage behind her cooking thing and do the first episode of Molly's Market in which she's making her famous Molly's Mistletoe cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These are made with natural ingredients from the local garden. And I guess...
Real mistletoe.
I guess maybe they're herbal cookies at that point. It doesn't matter. Don't think about it. Hallmark once advertised gluten-free toothpaste, so they don't know anything about food.
That's true.
These are real cookies made with ingredients from the local market. Molly's Mistletoe. It's her famous cookies, and it's going to be the Christmas special that gets people to tune in next year for her show. And the lights are on, and her cue is coming. And Molly looks deep within herself and says...
No. I can't do this.
She races to the parade as fast as legally and safely possible in her white Ford Taurus.
There we go.
And by the way, while we're defining things here, I feel like it's important. That car has got to be legally, I believe, in every Hallmark movie.
I think so.
Okay, just checking.
It does have an automatic trunk, so
it has to.
So it's pretty nice.
We're in the current day.
It does. And she, when she gets to the parade, she runs up and joins Kevin on the float.
Which is
his
truck.
Red truck, sure. She hugs her boy. She's got to hug her boy. The Dylan boy.
She hugs Dylan. She hugs Kevin. They're all singing Feliz Navidad as they drive through the town.
Did you tell them who's driving the truck? Same Molly's time. Dad, who she hadn't talked to in a really long time.
Let's just throw that stuff
yeah,
in.
See what happens. Let's just toss one.
No
JK,
way.
JK, JK.
No way. I think it's Roy O'Neill.
We're not doing that.
Roy O'Neill's
Roy
driving
O'Neill's
the truck.
Driving.
It's Roy for sure.
And his wine mom archetype wife, Shannon.
Oh my gosh.
And they're driving the truck, and I feel like when we arrive at the lake, yeah, they gotta have their first kiss under double
the,
aurora borealis.
Under and over the northern
Whoa!
Lights,
sandwiched between
framed
the northern
by.
Lights. It's definitely that's brilliant. It's certainly framed by the northern lights.
Yeah. Yep.
Sandwich was nice though.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful.
I like it.
No, we're getting a little sandwich crazy.
Beautiful instrumental version of Feliz Navidad plays.
Yeah,
at this point, and then we time jump.
Not through a magic
tool
shed.
Through the magic of cinema. We jump forward a year in time to the next Christmas.
This is great.
We're in a grocery store.
Which one?
It's called Garcia's Grocers. Oh.
Yo, I'm crying. The tears are coming right now.
Molly is putting on a cooking class in which she's teaching the kids of Aurora how to make Molly's mistletoe cookies.
Oh, guys. Molly.
Dead gummit.
Now I'm kidding, legitimately getting a little bit of chills.
Do we see a wedding ring? Did they get married in that year?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. We do see a wedding ring. She's putting on
baby in hand.
No. she's teaching the kids how to make Molly's mistletoe, and they're making a bunch of these cookies.
And some of them are good, right? And some of them are not.
Some of them are good, some of them are not. But that's okay because these kids are following their compass.
It's all about that Christmas spirit when it comes to cookies.
Yep.
And they leave from this cooking class and they go get on the parade. And as they're driving through Aurora, they're handing out Molly's mistletoe to people and singing Feliz Navidad. Oof. A long crane shot as they drive away.
No. I've got it. And this, I'm calling an audible here. Molly, Kevin, Dylan stay behind as the parade goes and the kids are handing out the cookies and they all watch. And then Dylan goes, Mom, can I run ahead and join the parade? And she says, you gotta ask your dad.
Yeah. Oh!
Yep. Camera pans to Kevin and Kevin says, sure, buddy, go on. He runs off. Now the crane shot.
Yep, that's it.
Well, there you have it. It is one chapter of our autobiography that maybe one day we'll expose this years later. And to end this episode, I'd love to have your name and tell me who you hope to direct this story of Feliz Navidad. Who do you think is the best director for that? To tell our story about telling our story that didn't become our story. I'm not going to do the title for him. I want this director to have complete creative freedom. I'm Carter. And there is something about the charm of Wes Anderson that I think would make for a good autobiographical pick of the two chunks Feliz Navidad story.
Mm-hmm. I'm Doge. I am going to title it. It's called Searching for Sabrina, and it's us trying to get in touch with Melissa Joan Hart and her ignoring us forever.
Yeah.
This is actually going to be directed by Sarah Koenig from Serial because, listen, Adnan's got a lot of help, and we need help too.
Oh, that's all we need. Good. We just need to fund it. We can't afford the lawyers.
I'm Jordan, and it's going to be called Feliz Navidad, just about, you know, the stuck in the mud, like hard to get started sort of grassroots campaign. But it is going to be directed by Kenny Ortega.
What? You got Kenny Ortega?
I got Kenny.
Cannot be.
You're kidding me.
Kenny.
Get out.
He directed the opening ceremony of the 14th Winter Olympic Games.
And also this.